God. Well, I'm going to try to preach this morning. God to help me. I've been a little under the weather this week. Appreciate your prayers. Everything feels pretty good. I don't know how to work, but my ears have stopped up like I've been going through the mountains. So I might be louder than what I usually am because I can't hear any good. Amen. And I appreciate your prayers. Mary Bradley in prayer. Miss Linda said he's at the hospital in Presbyterian. And ask God to bless and help him. He hopefully get to come home this afternoon. But do pray for him. And Miss Julie's doing all right, I reckon. And that's a blessing. Amen. She had that little fall there and had some stitches. It hurt me to look at that. Amen. But I'm glad God's helped her. And next Sunday morning, Brother Heatherly be with us. And then the next Sunday night, Brother Trent McKeon, he's out of Marion. Good brother. I preached a little for him. And he's going to be with us next Sunday night. Him and his son, he's a young preacher. Good brothers. And so, and Brother Matthias talked to him. He's going to try to be here the 27th of March and be back one more round with us. Amen. So pray God would help him. He's had a lot of physical issues, but he's a dear friend of mine. I look forward to seeing him. And I'll say one thing about him. He ain't changed. Amen. And I like that about a man. You know what you get. I'd rather know what you're getting, wouldn't you? Amen. I'd rather for a man to be honest with me as a man to tell me something I want to hear. That's just the way it is. It don't do you no good to get just what you want to hear. Amen. There's been a lot of things going on my mind this week, and I appreciate God, even though I felt kind of down, I got to read a good bit and pray and think things on my mind, get some help from God, get some correction to my own life. And a lot of times when you sit back and think and open your own heart up and look at it far as toward God, you'll see, woe is me. Yes. Amen. And I'm thankful this morning for you being here. I know we got some out this morning sick and different things. But God's been faithful, and I thank him for it. So much on my mind this morning that a man told me this other week, and I've had it on my heart. I'm not going to preach on it, but it's just a good thought. He said, if you want to see the value in anything, lay it beside the cross. Mm-hmm. That diminish about anything that ain't spiritual or in something that's close to you. If you lay anything, if you laid $1 billion beside the cross, what does it mean? Don't mean nothing. That's right. Don't mean nothing, really. It don't mean nothing. It don't. I mean, if you let anything you put, if you value what the value of anything is in our life, you lay it beside the cross of Calvary, and then you'll see the real value of it when it comes down to life, eternal. I thought this week, too. I was thinking about this, and I wrote it down, and I said, a man will always guard and protect what's important to him. That's what the Lord said. He said, now, you think on that. What do you guard and protect more? It ought to be our relationship with him. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. It ought to be your relationship with me. Mm-hmm. We guard that. You guard that with relationship. Here's another little thought I got this week. Now, this is reading out of some other Bible. This will help you if you'll grab hold of it. This didn't come from a spiritual person. This come from a lady that kept children. And she was trying to help a woman that was battling keeping children because she wanted to be a good mother. And the woman really had a hard life. And the woman told her this. She was looking at all these other families, and this is what this woman told her. And I applied it to my own life spiritually. If you can get it young, you'll do good. Drop the measuring stick. Drop the measuring stick. Don't measure yourself beside nobody else. If you can do that, let God help you. You'll go further in life. I'm going to tell you, if you can drop the measuring stick and don't measure what they got and what you got, what they can do and what you can't do, you drop the measuring stick. Don't measure yourself beside nobody. Christ is our measuring stick and standard. That's right. The only thing that measures up to God's him. He's the only one. You can never measure up to what God requires unless it's through Christ. That's the only way. That's why he said you fall short of the glory of God. You missed the mark. I missed the mark. That's right. You missed the mark in being who you are and who I am. There's nobody ever adding up to that. That's why you have to have him who represents you as your Lord. Amen. Before the Father, that God accepts you in the beloved. That's the only way. Brother, listen, you cannot measure up. Amen. That don't mean we don't press toward that mark. Amen. The mark is to be made like him. We're always pressing toward that mark to be like him. But the mark's Christ.
Sure.
Amen. Listen, it ain't a certain goal. It's Christ. That's right. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. In what? Christ Jesus. That's where it's at. But a lot of people today, they're trying to measure up to religion. They're trying to measure up to a denomination standard. And it never going to work. Amen. We're worked upon by him to conform us to the image of his son, that the ultimate end of this thing is all going to be like that. That's just his predetermined will. That's what the word predestination is. It's predetermined by God for every believer to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the workings of God. That's just the way God does it. Amen. People scared to death of predestination. It's a biblical word. It's really the nutshell of the gospel. The reason God redeems a man is to conform that man into his image and bring glory to himself by his purposes in our life. That's what it's about. Amen. Listen. It ain't talking about a place. It's talking about a purpose. God's predestination is a purpose. Always remember that. The predestination of God's a purpose. If you ever get that a hold of your own heart, and people so fighting the truth of God today, friend, I thought about that little scripture this morning when I was telling Brother Robert, and just coming to church, this is two things God told me this morning coming to church. He said, I'm going to have to get anything and everything out of anybody that they glory in.
Right.
If I glory in my preaching, then sit down. If you glory in anything that you think in life that you're doing that you're really glory, you got to get it out of you. The only thing we can glory in is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. He's the only one that can be gloried in. There's no glory in man but the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. And then he told me this. He said, you know over there where he said they give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils in these latter days. Verse 3 says, forbid him then to marry and eat them meats and all that. God said, I'm going to tell you what that doctrine was. That doctrine was legalism. They forbid. They forbid them to do something God said they could do.
Right.
There's always a narrow path. Everything's just on the same path. And Jesus is the narrow path.
Yes.
You can be liberal, you can be legal. You can be either side.
Right.
And either side's wrong. He's the only right way. How do you find that way? Follow him, praise God. That's the only way you'll know it. He'll have to teach you these things in life. Amen. There's so many things that God, amen, will teach a man if he'll just be honest and open to him and grow in grace and knowledge and get down the road a little piece. Amen. Then go back sometimes. Amen. Listen, thank God I'm glad we don't have to. But you can't. But if we don't listen... Amen. God allows these things in our life. Look in the book of Mark 9 this morning. I'll just say a few things from this. I had several thoughts on my mind, and I appreciate Jonathan preaching Wednesday night and Robert testifying there and Miss Pat's testimony. It was wonderful to hear some of that. I didn't get to listen to it all, but I appreciate God's blessing on the church. And so pray for these people that's sick this morning, and that God would touch them. In Mark chapter 9, let me get there. And this is a great text here. And not in chapter 9 here, you got to always see who the Lord's talking to. And he's talking to his disciples here, his disciples. And the Bible said, let's just read verse 35, then I'm going to say a few things. And he sat down and called the 12 disciples, and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And so the only way you can ever be first is to be last. That's the only way. You can't, listen, brother, a man that wants to be above somebody else, he's got the wrong motive. But in his heart, if he'll be a servant, God says then he'll be first. And that's just the way God sees it. Amen. Listen here. He said he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such a child, children in my name, receiveth me. That's what Jesus said. Like that little old boy and them little children. He said, he took it in his arms. He said, they receiving me when they receive this child. Because he's the creator of that child, loves the child. And this is what he said, who shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And notice John. John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. And Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name. Notice that. You said it the other week teaching on Sunday school. The word power over there means miraculous power. It means it's miracle power. That's what God does. He don't do nothing less than miracle power. Amen. You testified this morning because the Holy Ghost taught you and give you that. And no man can do that unless by the Holy Ghost. I think we elude the fact sometimes that there's miracles go on every day. And what yes. God has entrusted a man with, because you don't know that by the natural man. You just can't. This is not a religion where you repeat what we say. And getting up in some assembly somewhere and I ain't got to read everything the same way every week, and it's just a formality that ain't nothing in. But a man that knows God, he has a spirit in him, and he can testify in the spirit, and knows the spirit of God. That's a miracle. You've got to see that. It just don't happen. It just don't happen for a man to stand touch God on him. Amen. When he's preaching, teaching, testifying, that God miraculously helps that man to give the word out that it might help the people. We don't know how far this word goes. We don't know how effective it is. We just know we need to give it. And we know God blesses it through that giving the word out. But listen, there's a miracle here. Listen, friend, they said these people is casting out devils and followeth not us. In other words, they're not in our group. They don't follow us. And Jesus has information. If we ever got a hold of this, it'd help us some. He said, it followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. That sounds like Baptist people, don't it? Amen. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Jesus said, a man that does a miracle in my name, he can't lightly speak evil of me. That's what he said. That was what he told his men. Don't bother doing that. Notice this in verse 40. For he that is not against me is on our part. And so, listen, there was many in them days. Ultimately, at the end, a lot came and said, did we not cast out devils in thy name? And Jesus said, depart from me, for I never knew you. But thank God, I'm glad he knows me. Amen. That's right. I'm thankful this morning the Lord knows who I am. I'm thankful for that this morning. Thank God the Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every name of Christ depart from iniquity. Because he knows the foundation of God stands sure. That's who we're built off of, is Christ. And through him, thank God this morning, he knows me. That's right. Thank God he's known me a long time, friend. Amen. Thank God for that. Listen, thank God. Before he even told Jeremiah, before I formed thee, I knew thee. And before he formed you, he knew you. And before he formed me, he knew me. Thank God he did nothing he didn't know. But I'm telling you this morning, now we get into the text. Here and he said, for whosoever give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I said to you, he shall not lose his reward. So it's all about amen, servanthood right here he's talking about. And then he gets into this thing this morning, and I want to preach on this just a minute, on the danger of apostasy. There's an apostate is somebody that falls away. Hey, listen, thank God, if you say he apostatized, that means he left the truth. He got away from the truth. In fact, in John 6, it looks like them men apostatized from being what they were. Amen, or what they said they were. And I think the whole thing is the perseverance and the preservation of God's people through the power of God. Amen. Peter said, we're kept by what? The power of God unto salvation. Unto that day it shall be revealed. So there would be no boasting this morning in me persevering myself. But the boasting's in Christ, who is our preserver and perseveres us through this. Because I'm honest with you this morning. God, there ain't nobody in here that good that can persevere. Nobody in here that can do it. It's God that perseveres you. How do you undergo these things? How do you make it? How does God get you there? He's already got you there in his Son. When he cried, writing is finished. He persevered. He said, looking unto Jesus, that's who Andrew said. Who's the author and what finisher of our faith? Who for the joy that was set before him done what? Endured the cross. Despising the shame. Set down the right hand the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction against sinners. Amen. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. And so he's teaching these people this, that the life of God is a hard life sometimes. It's not easy. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. But the life we live here is not the easiest life. Amen. It's a more of a struggle now since you've been saved. It's a warfare. It's thought life. It's amen. How you the things you face in life. Amen. And all of us would like to live on the mountain all the time. It'd be good, thank God, to live a while without any troubles, but you can't. Even Job said that man is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. He has trouble in life. We have difficulties. Amen. But the whole thing is, amen, there's reward, thank God, in this serving and doing a simple thing like giving a man a drink of water. Amen. In the disciples' name. And so we find here this morning, look what he said in verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. That's a strong word. That's a deep truth right there. Amen. It'd be better if a man, brother, listen this morning, amen, it'd be better for this man if he's going to listen. Thank God, it'd be better for him, amen, he said, to have a millstone about his neck. A millstone's a big grinding stone. Amen. I mean, brother, he's talking about really just drowning this person. I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to preach it twofold here. Number one, it'd be better, he said, for a man to be drowned in the depth of the sea, amen, to offend one of them little children, amen, that believe in him, amen, that they're being taught about him, amen, and then somebody try to distract that and hurt them, amen, away from the way God set it up. And listen, then it'll be a whole lot worse. And listen, thank God, somebody that's a young believer, amen, if somebody come up and try to, amen, offend them or trip them up. The word offend means a trip or stumble and offend them. It would have caused, amen, listen, God's anger and said, this is Jesus talking now. Somebody said, well, to preach love. This is love. He loves his own. Amen. And listen, I'm telling you this morning, anybody that tries to trip up and cause, amen, a little child or a young believer to stumble, he said it'd be better for him to be drowned in the depth of the ocean, friend. That's what God said, amen. Notice this here. I'll give you three things in this. He said in 42 to 48, he's talking about hell here. Hell's just about a lost word in the church because people don't believe in hell. I want to tell you this morning, hell's a literal place. There's more people that go to hell than there do heaven. That's right. He said broad is the way. Broad is the way that many go into. Amen. Thank God for the grace of God. If it weren't for the grace of God, we'd all go to hell. Amen. Mercy of God too. Mercy stops you from going, and grace, thank God, gives you salvation in Christ. And Christ is the one, thank God, that takes the death for every man, the Bible said. Thank God that mankind could be spared from hell. In fact, Peter said, if the ungodly shall appear in a judgment, where are we going to be? He said, will this be saved, what, yet by what fire in one place? And then he said, amen, if we scarcely be saved as a righteous man, that's what he said. If we scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly appear? And where shall they appear? Where will the ungodly appear? The only reason an ungodly man appears at the judgment of God is because he has no atonement for his soul. My friend, he believeth not. And the Bible said he that believeth not is condemned already. And I'm not talking about a mental consent. Don't you ever tell your children that they're saved. You let God tell them they're saved. If you get up and say, well, you've been saved. Amen. No, dude, listen, if God can't tell them that, then you don't know what's in their heart. And I can't tell one of you this morning, amen, whether you saved or not. Amen. You say, well, I'm saved. Well, don't convince yourself. Let the Holy Ghost convince you. Amen. You can convince yourself in an imagination that's not God. And the Holy Ghost ain't telling you that. I'm going to tell you this morning. I don't have a right to tell anybody, ain't God, what they have. I've got a right to preach what God says and them search and find out what they have in their heart. Because I'm telling you this, it's better to know than be deceived. The word deceived means misled. You've been misled. Amen. Search the scriptures. Amen. But Paul, God said, I know whom I have believed. Amen. Not what I believe. Amen. Listen, God, I don't glory in the Baptist. I don't glory in the church. I glory in Christ. Amen. He's the only salvation. He's the only Savior. There's nobody else. But he mentioned three things in the scripture here. God, that said, and he said, verse number 43, he said, if thy hand offend thee, he said in verse 45, if thy foot offend thee, and he said in verse 47, if thy eye offend thee, he mentioned three parts of the body. He said that if these offend thee, he said it'd be better. He said it'd be better not to have. In other words, he said it'd be better to go through life without a hand than to go to hell. It'd better in life to go through life without a foot than to be cast into hell. He said it'd be better to go without your eye and pluck it out than go to hell. He ain't literally preaching here. Like God, Brother Gene knows a man that cut his hand off. Literally cut his hand off because of this scripture. That's not what that means. Hey God, you got to mortify the needs of the body. You've got to count them dead. You've got to bring it under subjection, the body. Amen. But if that's what's the cause in that, then there's something. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Thank God, the heart's what controls my hand. The heart's what controls my foot. The heart's what controls my eye. Everything functions through that. Amen. And this ain't something my hand doing. It's my heart calling my hand to do it. It's the evil. Everything that does on the outside comes from the inside. Amen. The motor in the car is what runs it. But it's under the hood. Amen. Listen. Thank God, friend, the motor, if it ain't running, your car ain't running. You can't get nowhere without a motor. Amen. You can get somewhere without a hubcap. You can get somewhere without some outer things on a car. But the problem ain't with the, thank God, the hubcap. I've said that before. You wouldn't blow a motor and get the car towed in. Thank God, and say, well, how about changing the hubcap? No, the hubcap ain't the problem. The motor's the problem. Listen to me this morning. What you doing ain't the problem. The problem's who's telling you to do it, amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. If I look at something I ought not look at, then that's the evil heart that's doing that. That's right. It ain't just my eyes. It's where it's coming from. He said, out of the heart proceed these things, adulteries, fornications, and thefts, and all this stuff. And when we see this morning, I want to mention a few things. In fact, let's look at the hand this morning, the instrument of the hand. He said, if thy hand offend thee. I thought about Judas Iscariot. What about these three on him? The hand. What was the hand going to get? It was going to get money for the betrayal. What was his feet taking him? It's taking him to the enemy. What was his eyes seeing? I'm going to betray him. Amen. Listen, but all this controlled because he was a devil in his heart. Amen. Listen, have you ever thought about this? Amen. Listen, the only good in you is God that controls you. Listen, you can discipline a child and cause them to obey if you'll do it. Amen. God, listen. Amen. Paul, God talked about. Amen. Listen, God, when we was a child, we done childish things, but when we become a man, we put them away. Why? Because we're disciplined enough to live in the maturity of the Spirit of God. Amen. To know that, thank God. Amen. Amen. There's advancements in life. Amen. Let me tell you this. I think this is an opinion. Okay. I think some of the hardest times in life is teenage years and midlife years.
Yes.
Teenage years is a hard time with wonder. I wonder, what can my hand do? You ever think this? What can I do? And I know I ain't going to be judged. I'm going to tell you something. You already judged. I'm already judged. Your motive judges you. God don't wait till you do something. He knows your intent of your heart before you ever do it. He knows it. He knows the very intent of your heart. He knows the intent of my heart. And that's what the problem is in life. And listen, I promise you this. This is right. God just ain't going to judge you because you do something in your hand. He's going to judge you further than that. He's going to judge you with the intent that you have in your heart with your hand. Amen. Because that's the whole thing, brother. Listen, it's just the truth. He said here, if thy hand offend thee. Well, this is what God give me on these three and I'll finish. Number one, the hand has something in it. But the only way the hand will never offend you, God, is it's got the cross in it. Jesus said you got to take up the cross. The cross is something that you have to carry. It's a place of death. It's a place of sacrifice. The reason our homes are in the mess they are today is because people don't want to take their position and they don't want to sacrifice and give themselves up for their position. It's just like a daddy in the home. His responsibility is to lead the home. That's his responsibility. Listen, God put you in that responsibility. Amen. He didn't say, listen, that's your responsibility as a daddy to lead your home. It's not your wife's responsibility. But when you take away the sacrifice of that and say that's too much, I put it on my wife. I tell her, listen, it ain't the will of God. It has never been the will of God for a wife to lead the home. It's never been. I'm telling you, I'm preaching the truth. I can take you to it. I know it's right. But when your hand don't want to take the responsibility, it's offending you. It's apostatizing you to get away from what God ordered you to do. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Apostasy is falling away from the truth. The church has fell away from the truth in what I'm preaching this morning. He said, if your hand offend you, the hand has authority. Jesus raised his hands. That's how Jews prayed. When Jews prayed, if you read Jesus' prayer, he lifted up his eyes toward heaven and held his hand up and he prayed to the Father like this. He submitted himself to the Father. Listen to me, you can kick it, cuss it, fight it, all you want to, but God has an ordained order in life. He's got it. He's got it. And if your hand offends you, see, also your hand's got to be empty of the world. You cannot have the world in one hand and God in the other hand. You can't do it. You can't have, listen, money is a biblical truth. It's a biblical truth. God set it up. Money is not evil. Listen to me. Money is not evil. The love of money is evil. That means that you love money more than you do God, and you trust your bank account more than you do the sovereign. Because if you'll trust something that you can see, you're not probably going to trust somebody you can't see. But I'm telling you, you can't see God, but you know he's God, and you know the blessings come from him. And I'm telling you, if all we gonna trust is what we got here and what we got in our pocket, because when that rich ruler, amen, listen, fell before the Lord, he had many riches. And Jesus said, just getting down to it, sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me. And he couldn't do it. And the Lord knew he couldn't do it. But brother, listen, I'm telling you this morning, thank God, if he looked at God and got some help to do it, he probably could have done it. You can't live what I'm preaching unless God does it for you, amen. I can't live what I'm preaching unless God does it for me. You'll learn that in the Christian life. This ain't me coming down here, thank God, with a rule book and said, here, Jonathan, you go do this and that. You can't do it. You could give me rules, I couldn't do it. I could read the Bible to you, so it says you need to do this and you can't do it. I can't do it. You've got to find this out. The only way you can do it is God do it. And you got to submit to God to do it. That's the only way. Amen. To not try to reason. It's not human reasoning. It's not trying to figure out how I can do it. It's God doing it. And you've got to figure out, thank God, by the revelation of God, that God's way is better than what you think. That's right. But sir, Joel Hite, what thy hand find to do, do with all thy might. That means if I'm going to put my hand to it, that man put his hand to the plow, he never plowed. Never did. Your hand has to be empty for God to put what he wants to in it. Amen.
He told Moses to take up the rod. That's what he did. He took up the rod, threw it on the ground. Amen. Ate the snakes. Amen. Turned into one, ate the magician's snakes. Stuck the same rod out, thank God, over the Red Sea. It's in his hand. Amen. Thank God. Listen. Amen. Samson killed a lion. He didn't have nothing in his hand. He just had his hand. Amen. But listen this morning. I'm telling you this. If your hand offends you, if your hands is always about greed, if your hands is always about, my friend, thank God, having something from this world in it, then your hand's offending you. It'll apostatize you. It'll keep a preacher from preaching because he'll shut his mouth because of money that'll go in his hand. I'm going to tell you this morning, I appreciate everything God's ever done for the 34 years that the Lord's let me pastor this church. I do. But I promise you this, it ain't for the money. It ain't, brother. Thank God, I'm telling you, it's for the call. I appreciate the money, and I thank God for it. But I'm just telling you this, if it's about that, then and I'm scared to preach to you because of what you give or who you are, then I need to shut up. If I can't help you with the truth of God, you pay a doctor all this money to go there and let him tell you how wrong you are, and you say, thank you, sir, put me some medicine in a basket, and a preacher get up and preach the truth of God. Amen. And people get mad, and they'll say, I ain't going to give nothing more to that church. Well, you don't have to. God don't need it. You getting blessed. Listen to me. Giving is the blessing of God. More blessed to give than receive. Listen, friend, God ain't depending on none of us to keep this place open. He can shut her down if he wanted to. I'm talking about the building. He ain't going to shut the church down. The church is the people, not the building. That's why all these people talk about this COVID. They wanting to shut the doors. How can they shut the door on me? They can't shut the door on me. They can't shut the door on the building. That's what the Western world mindset is. This is the church. No, the church is us. We meet together here, thank God for the blessings of God to be upon us and hear the word of God and pray and fellowship. Amen. That's what we ought to come for. And I'm just saying this morning, thank God, to give something out of your hand into somebody else's or to give something to be a blessing. God returns a blessing more than what you give. But he ain't got a gun to your head. Thank God, he ain't, my friend, forcing you to give anything. Amen. If you give yourself under the lead of God, amen, everything's his anyhow. If you say, well, we're going to have to give this. We made 100 this week. We'll have to give 10. No, I don't give it. You have to do it. Oh, man, I just have to do it. He said he liked the cheerful giver. God, he loveth the cheerful giver. That's why he said he loved the cheerful giver. I mean, God, listen, God don't say that a lot, but he said he loveth the cheerful giver. I mean, God loveth the cheerful giver. I ain't in the tent system. I'm in the giving system. And the giving system says, give as God has blessed you. He said, give as God has prospered you, then you give to God. Which God don't need nothing to exist. He existed before there ever was anything. Hey, you know God's the only thing that ever existed, that ever was self-existent. God, amen, for in eternity has never had a beginner in it, and never. He's the only one that never has been created. Everything else has been created. Amen. That's right. And brethren, you better thank God this morning that same God sent his son to die for you. Amen, that you could be saved and know life in Christ. That's amazing. Thank God. Friend, I'm telling you this. God don't owe me nothing. Hey, amen. He gives me something. Thank God, we ought in gratitude, thanksgiving, receive it. But if thy hand offend thee, whatever the hand's offending you in, thank God, he said it'd be better not cut it off. Amen. Because it will bring apostasy in your life. Listen to me, if that's what you got to have to do it, don't do it. That's right. Notice this. Now, the hand, my friend, this morning needs to be empty. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Here I am, Lord. What did he say? Holy hands, lift up holy hands. You can't have holy hands with deceit. You can't have, your heart's deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. Somebody said, if I know my heart, well, I know it's deceitful and I don't know how bad it is. God does. I know it's bad. Desperately wicked. Pink said above all things. He said, that's above Satan. It's above all things. Pretty bad right there. Satan's heart was deceitful. Amen. I'll make my throne above God. Judah's heart was deceitful. God said he was a devil from the beginning, and he said he was a thief too. That's what he said, he's a thief. Amen. But when Jesus said, one of you shall betray me, and they all said, Lord, is it I? And then finally down, Judas knew it was him, and he said, Lord, is it I? He said, thou knowest it. And he left. You know what Peter done when they come and arrested Jesus? Here's all these people. You got a prison during the Passover. They come and arrest the Lord by Judas going to them chief priests and elders. They come with swords and staves, and they come to arrest the Lord Jesus. Listen to this. And Peter took out his sword and cut the man's ear off, trying to stop it. Remember that? And Jesus said, put up your sword. Put up your sword. Put it back in place. He that lives by it dies by it. And he looked back at Peter, and this is what he said, Brother Keith. He said, if I wanted to, I could call 12 legions of angels, and they could come and deliver me. But he said, the scriptures must be fulfilled. Listen, this is what Peter's saying to Jesus. Jesus is saying to Peter. He's saying, Peter, this is a must, and you can't stop it with your sword. This is a must. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Every Old Testament prophecy and everything that was prophesied in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Christ. Listen, it's going to come to pass. Has come to pass. That's what he's saying. It's already there, Peter. You can't stop it by using your sword. It must. So take it out of your hand. Put it in there. Amen and amen. I'm just saying this morning, friend, that in life you cannot stop some things because God's already set it up and it's going to happen. Thank God. That's what happened. That's why Jesus could say it's finished, because he come to do what was set up, to die for mankind. Amen. That we could be saved. And he took his own empty hands and he stretched them out on Calvary and they nailed them there on an old rugged cross. Are you willing, thank God, to give your hands to him? Amen. And not be an apostate. Amen. And compromise. Amen. Listen. And not stand for God no more. Right. I'd hate to be a compromiser. I really would. This same-sex marriage is evil. Any man that wants to marry another man's a reprobate. Any woman that wants to marry another woman's a reprobate. I don't care who they are. But we got preachers today. Oh, it ain't that bad. They reprobates too. Not everybody says they're a preacher is a preacher. Not everybody says they're a church is a church. Why has God let that go on? Because it's his will. Why is the Catholics using Old Testament doctrine to try to build a New Testament church? And there's the biggest cult in the world. They're a corrupt government society. That's what they are. Every bit of it. They ain't got no truth. That's it. Money's right. Why does God allow that? Because it's his will. You say God wills that? Yeah, I'm talking to you this morning. God, as much as God allows that, he allowed, thank God, the Holy Ghost of God to shine on your heart one day through the preaching of the Word of God to show you Jesus Christ and give you the truth. How do you know you're the truth? Because, thank God, I know the truth. Who's that? Jesus? I believe this is the Bible. I believe this is the inspired, verbal, inspired Word of God. Amen. Ain't no need anybody to come here and say what's got error in it. If you think that, that's up to you. This is the verbally inspired Word of God. But I don't even have to open this up to know he lives in me. Amen. I don't have to have it open to preach. It's in me. Now, I think, well, to say it's written, Jesus used it's written. And I think we can say the scripture says. But it's still him. Everything's about him. And I'm telling you, we've let our hand offend us. Amen. Listen, without being a sacrifice, you'll never be a sacrifice unless you're willing to empty yourself out of yourself and be who he wants you to be. If I hand offend thee, the best place a mama's hands could be is in the, thank God, holding her children. Amen. God never intended anybody else to raise them. Now it happens sometime, and that's in the will of God too. But we're missing it today. I've thought that this week. I've read that and prayed about that and sought God on that. We've missed the mark. Things is getting more important than children. Sold them on the block. Here's the average adults today. And if you don't like this, I can't help it. She gets married. She's got a high-paying job. He's got married. He's got a high-paying job. And they have a child. And we're going to take him to the babysitter while we make all our money. That's an abomination. Getting quiet. While we let somebody else raise our children and pay them. It's hard to make it today, preachers, according to how we want to live, really. You say you act like you don't like it. Well, I'm just preaching what God gave me this week. I took about a week off. And I'm going to tell you what, he preached to me before he did you. And I'm going to tell you what, there ain't nobody in here, nobody as bad as I am. Nobody. Nobody wrestles it with it as much as I do. You say, why? Well, if he can bind the strong man, what's he going to get? He's going to get the goods. If he can, listen, you got a nice wife and two beautiful little boys. But God's going to try to attack you. But if he can't attack you, he'll try to attack you through her because he'll wear her down. I mean, God ain't going to do it, but Satan will. He's going to try to attack you. Where's the attack at, John? I spend a little time for helping him out, if you call it that. But the attack ain't on me, it's on him. Any authority or leadership, the attack's on. See, here's the thing, ladies, listen to me. God created the woman for the man. That means that everything about the wife is she's sacrificing her life to be a wife. Why get married? Why would a husband want a wife and not take care of her? And the blessing of God comes through that with children and grandchildren. I told Kate this morning, I said, you the prettiest little thing I ever seen, but don't tell Mama, she might get jealous. Yeah, she looks like her. But God, that's just the way he set it up. He put children under you to love and to make them listen. Listen, discipline is to correct them for the better, not just to whoop them because they get on your nerves. Even though we do that too. My daddy done that. I know he had to do it some. My mama especially. But it all helped me. Listen to me. No child should ever rule the house. No child. Son, Manny's back there. No, we didn't never do what she did, wanted to do, unless it was what I had on my mind to do. She never said nothing anyway. Matt, neither. You say, was you the general? You right. I was probably too hard. If I could have pulled off a little bit, knowing what I know now, I'd have pulled off some. but I didn't know nothing but that. But I promise you this, they didn't drive me crazy. You say, how do you do it, preacher? Pray and get a backbone. And have a lot of love in that backbone. Don't just be a mean daddy. Thank God, be a loving daddy, but praise God, be a man. And this is a sad commentary, but you better hear me. And I trust my wife. She's a good woman. But if my child come to me and they said, Daddy, can I do this? I ain't going to say, go ask your mama. I'm going to say this, and then if they go ask her, they in trouble. Because I'm telling you this, what I say, and I mean, you know what I'm saying, I ain't talking about being big boss man, I ain't nothing anyhow, but that's my position. That's what's happened in a lot of marriages. A man tells his wife something, trying to instruct her, doing the best he can, and she'll go talk to her mama, and she said, well, your daddy, I wouldn't listen to him. That's bad advice. Boy, it's getting quiet, ain't it? Well, I'm telling you the truth this morning, son. This message doesn't shut up. Because if I hand offend thee, and thy foot offend thee, the foot is I'm taking my foot and going somewhere I ought not go with it. I know this ain't accepted, but it's just the God's truth. We missed the boat. God showed me that this week. He said, do you believe this? Or do you just try to look at it and say, well, that might not be relevant now. But it works. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That means as long as you're under their roof. Now, I think, too, and I'll change a little bit on this, and you can say what you want. My rules is rules. Some rules is rules. But when they get older, you got to loosen some. I'm not talking about 12 and 13 throwing a phone in their hand and letting them go in a room with a TV. You can watch anything. But I am saying this. If they 18 years old, 17 years old, you got to give them some room. You can't treat them like they're 7 years old. If you don't give them room to make decisions, they'll never know how to make them. That's why kids, listen, I hate to get on all this, but that's why kids are so soft today. Mama does everything for them. They got to put their underwear on for them. It's sad, but it's the God's truth. They ought to have their underwear put on when they're 1 and 2 years old. When they 15, 16 years old, son, let them grow up a little. Yes, sir. We got summer jobs. Let them work. Put them in the yard. Get them off the dadgum games. Won't know how to do nothing. Can you imagine them getting married? Hey, amen, they go on their honeymoon, come home, it's June, the grass is high. Hey, amen, the wife says, who's going to mow the yard? He said, I thought you would. My wife likes mowing. I benefit. I don't mind. They say, well, you don't mind mowing, do you? He said, well, I ain't never mowed before. And plus, it's starting to rain outside. You done missed it, boys. We done missed it. Mama's told him all his life, son, that don't go out there and get rain on you. You might get sick. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is the generation we're living in, and the culture's trying to get you to think this way, and it's a bunch of bull. You don't mind me just cleaning the clock. Listen to me. Could you imagine going to school? I couldn't imagine. I graduated in 78. That means I went to Granite Quarry Elementary in the 60s. Of them coming up and saying, are you sure you a boy? It wouldn't take long for you to find out what I am. It don't take long to find what you are. That's a bunch of bull. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with boys today. Their mama needs to quit treating them like a child, a little baby. Then every time it breaks down somewhere, they ain't going to God or going thank God that somebody's got some sense. Mama, what do you think I ought to do? I didn't marry a mama. Back there's my mama.
Yes, sir.
I married a wife.
Amen.
A lot of men want a mama. A lot of women want a daddy. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, we're in bad shape. And I'll tell you what, if that foot's offending you, going to these wrong places, you know what I mean? Going to places that you getting. Listen, Judah, the disciples walked no more with him. In John 6, that means their feet left him. They said they walked with him no more. They was apostates. I figured this out. Listen to me. I was 15 after mama's going to have to go get that chicken. I got to say one more thing, but I'm going to tell you this. Listen, I figured this out. Listen, I want to teach you something here. You a smart little, you ain't little. You a smart fella. That's just a fact. You'll never do much till you get outside everything but you and God. It's hard. It's hard what I just told you. It's hard what I told you. It's hard what I told you. I think you'll do all right because you got that kind of mind. But until you can get outside what the Baptists think, what everybody else thinks, and just say, I ain't saying this because of what Dr. Bottlestopper said. I'm saying this because this is what God told me. And it'll line up with the book. And I'm gonna live my life outside the camp, even though I'm with the camp. The camp of people of God. If I die today, this, you ain't for sale. I ain't for sale. If thy foot offend thee, if thy eye offend thee, here's the problem with the eye, and I'm through. Here's the worst eye problem you got. The eye of pride. The eye of pride says, I'm better than them people. That's what a proud look is. A proud look says, I'm better than them people. I got better things than them people. I drive better cars than them people. I got a better house than people. I got more money than them people. I'm better than them people. Look at their clothes. Look at how they look. You ain't in bad shape. That's right. You in bad shape. Listen, that young girl that comes here on Sunday night, she's 20 years old. She'll probably come tonight. She ain't got nothing. She gets up and goes to a work job at 3 o'clock in the morning. Has to get a ride. Ain't got nothing. I don't fight because I'm going to lose anyway. But if somebody said something down about that girl after her, how she's been raised, you ever considered how people's been raised and what they've been through? Concerned now about maybe in a place to have to live somewhere? Don't really have a home? If somebody would think above her, they really need a swift kick. That's pride. I'm going to tell you what people do, is get on their face and thank God for everything they got. You can get in the car and drive home today and go in a house, lay in a bed tonight. Brother Joe, whether people want to believe it or not, there's people right around us that don't have that. And we get these proud looks. Baptists are bad about independent, fundamental, premillennial Baptists. All they think is, bless God, our church is the only one. You missed the mark, buddy. The church is the people anyway. It ain't the title on the sign. It ain't how good you are and how good you can preach and how big you are. It's who you are in Christ. But I'm going to tell you what's offended us and apostatized us is our own self. The biggest idol in this world today is yourself. The biggest idol in this world that I had to face is myself. I think better of myself and sometimes than what I am. And he said, you know what that'll do, boys? He'll say, it'll put you in hell. As he's telling this to the disciples. Now, we ain't talking about a bunch of sinners. We talk about men that's following him. He's saying, if you'd be better for you not to have a hand, a foot, or an eye and go to heaven than have them all and go to hell where the worm doth not. You say, what is that, preacher? I'm going to give you what I think. I'm going to give you that. I think it's the worm of the conscience. And the fire's not quenched. I don't understand all that, but I'll tell you this, there is fire. In other words, this is what that says. I cannot judge nobody. I have no judgment on you this morning. I must judge myself. But I will tell you this. This is what I think that says. If I get up 10 years from now and I'm living and preach and say you must be water baptized to go to heaven, you might as well go say he's an apostate. I heard a famous preacher say this, and I called him an apostate because he is. He said, do you think God's got people in all these religions? He said, yeah, even some of them even hadn't heard the name of Jesus. But they still in the family of God. That's what he said. That's a lie. Man's going to have to hear about Jesus Christ to be saved. He's going to have to. There ain't no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying that because... He said because God loved them people just out of his love, even though they've never heard about Jesus, and they can die Muslim, they can die believing Allah, they can die believing all this stuff, that they're going to heaven, they ain't going, friend. That's apostasy. If I preach stuff like that, if I got up in the pulpit here and said that, you'd kick me out and you'd have a right to do it. You ought to not even let me finish. You ought to say, listen, you out of here. To actually get up and say that God loved the Muslim world and they never... And listen, he did love the world. He did. God loved the world. But I'm telling you what, friend, listen to me. If a man's going to go to heaven, he's going to have to believe in Christ. He's not going unless he believes in Jesus Christ alone. Nobody else. He's one way. One way to heaven and one way to hell. One way to heaven is know him. One way to hell is not know him. That's right. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's apostasy. If a man gets apostate, he's an apostate. Well, he can have a little leaven left the whole lump. My wife offends me more than anything. My eye does. See that? You can't help. You got your eyes. God give you eyes. It's how you look to them. You can look at me today and say, that man's a preacher. And you can look to me today and say, that man's a sinner saved by grace, and you'd be right with both of them. Listen, I'm going to give you this, and I got to quit. I got to let you go. I see what happens when I don't preach.
You can look at somebody as no good, or you can look at somebody as hope.
Yeah.
Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Somebody said the other day to a dear brother of mine, he does a great work for God. And they said to him, I never could do that. And I said, brother, you ought to look to her and say,
you're a candidate. Mm-hmm. Because if you think you can, you probably won't. Mm-hmm. It's according to how you look at it. Mm-hmm. Are you going to look to him or are you looking to yourself?
Yes, sir.
That's the whole thing. I appreciate you. Remember meeting tonight at 6. Let's stand.
Brother Reverend.